Welcome to another episode of Rodis Live. Let's get it.
They call him punt, the wild guy.
Yeah. It's time for another segment of What's Poppin', y'all. Indian Trails, that's what's poppin'. Wild Hunnets, that's what's poppin'. 507, that's what's poppin'. The Johnson Family, that's what's poppin'. Chicago Food, that's what's poppin'. The Donut Shop, that's what's poppin'. College, that's what's poppin'. The Military, that's what's poppin'. Change, that's what's poppin'. The Most High, that's what's poppin'. Faith, that's what's poppin'. Welcome to Rodus Live. I'm your host, Rodus. Today I have a special guest by the name of Tiffany. We only on a first name basis today. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everybody. My name is Tiffany. Just like T said, I'm from Chicago. He and I grew up together out south in the Wild Hunnets, as you know, you want to call it. It's been a minute since I talked to my brother, but, you know, it's like we ain't missed a day. I'm ready. You know, just doing me, living life, taking it one day at a time.
I know that's right. So a lot of times on podcasts, people ask guys what it's like growing up in Chicago, and that's a one-sided perspective, but rarely do I hear anybody asking young ladies or women or teenagers what it's like growing up in Chicago. What was it like growing up in Chicago for you from a woman's perspective?
Wow, that's a good question. And you know what? People don't ask women that question a lot, because growing up in Chicago, it's very, it was trying at times. A lot of times it was trying, especially when you come from, when you being raised in survival mode, you know. So it's different. The things you go through on a daily basis, the way you respond to people, how you was treated, all that, it just plays a part in either grooming you and making the best out of you, or basically bringing the worst out in you, you know. But I'm going to say, with all that being said, I still wouldn't take it back, because growing up in Chicago has groomed me to be the woman that I am today. So, yeah, I wouldn't take that part of my life back.
You know what? I feel exactly the same way. Like, I could go anywhere in the world and I could adapt just from, you know, where we grew up and where we come from.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't take it back either. Like I was in the Marines and boot camp. Boot camp is hard and everything, but shit, it wasn't nothing like growing up where we come from.
I know, real talk. It's funny because, you know, Tremaine, believe it or not, I actually listened to a lot of things you said when I was younger. I remember when I wanted to go to Jackson State. You know, and you had already been to Jackson State. And at that time, remember, I had my son right after I graduated out of high school. And you explained to me, you don't want to be a starving college student, because a lot of college students are down there starving. And the thing is, now it's not just you. You got a child to take care of, you know. And I took that with me and I kept that. And I don't think it was bad advice. It was advice that made me make a right decision also to turn to the military like you did, you know. So, yeah, I think about the places that I've been and the things I've had to encounter, but nothing is like growing up in Chicago. Even though that was an experience for me, growing up in Chicago, because the way it I keep going back to the way that it groomed me, the things that I went through that groomed me to be who I am. It was the best place of all the places that I've been.
Right. Where are you exactly from in the city?
Well, if I grew up on the South Side, and when I say the South Side of Chicago, I want to say like the Southeast Side, right off of South Chicago and Yates, where it combines on 85th and Phillips. My grandmother stayed over there for years, and so all of my cousins and I, when we were younger, we went to the same schools and everything, and everybody came. The drop-off point was my grandmother's house. So I was raised out south, but I would say southeast more
Okay.
so.
So who were some of your role models growing up, if you had any?
Well, I would say when I was younger and growing up, the one person who I really dreamed of, and she would notice, the one person who I really dreamed about being like, this lady who I used to call my play auntie. Her name was Shaquila. She lived down the street from us on 85th and Phillips. She stayed on 86th and Phillips. Well, Shaquila and my mom were friends, actually. My mom used to let her babysit me a lot when I was little. So when I moved to California, Shaquila was in the Navy, but Shaquila was like the first black woman in my small environment. Because, when you grow up in the city, you're not really allowed to go all over the city until you become of a certain age. Boys get to experience the city before the girls do. So seeing Shaquila with her own crib and, the way she used to dress, the car she had, I was like, wow, when I grow up, this is what I want to do. You
Okay,
know?
shout out to Shaquila.
Yeah.
Shout out to her. So, why did you leave Chicago?
Well, you know what? I needed to do something different. And I'm gonna tell you, when I was a little girl, I realized that the way I was living as a child in the city, I didn't want to live like that. My family has always stated that I felt like I was better than them. It wasn't that. It's just that I knew I was different. I knew I wasn't the same. And the things that I wanted out of life wasn't the same things that they wanted out of life. So I knew for me when I was young that, I wasn't gonna live like that. Meaning, don't get me wrong, I love Chicago. Chicago will always be my home. I even sneak in there sometimes and sneak right back out. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't have time to visit everybody. But I just know that outside of my family, I tend to do so much better when I'm by myself. So, when my kids were little and I went to the military and I seen the life that I could give them on the other side of being in Chicago, I decided then that, I wasn't gonna go back.
You say, man, fuck this shit, fuck this shit, fuck this shit.
Hey, I said, fuck this cost of living. You
Yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people believe that they really got to struggle to live. And I'm the type of person that operates on faith. And I know that with faith, it don't require that type of struggle. So
Exactly.
yeah, so I knew that in order to better myself, one of the great sacrifices I was going to have to make was leave where I was comfortable at. I was comfortable in Chicago because, see, I come from a codependent family, and I
Right.
could have easily just stayed with a family member and keep having kids and living off the system and not doing nothing. But like I said, I knew that wasn't what I wanted to do when I was a young girl, so I wasn't gonna do it.
Right. So when did you say, hey, look, it's time for a change now?
Well, I was 19. I was 19, and actually, what happened is it was New Year's. It was after New Year's, I would say 1996. Because, see, I had been contemplating going to the military, But then every time my recruiter would come to me and like, "You ready to leave?" I would come up with an excuse. My excuse was, I needed to be with my family. You know what I'm saying? Because again, I was comfortable with that life, of barely doing my part or, using the talent that God had gave me. So, after New Year's, one day, 1996, I had a talk with my grandmother. And my grandmother told me, she said, "When you're around a bunch of people that don't care, you'll never get nowhere." She told me, she said, "You're different from the rest of them." She said, "And you need to get up out of here." And I took that as my voice of reason, And I said, "It's time to make that move." It was hard because by then, I had already been out of high school for 4 years. I had already had two kids because I graduated high school early, and I knew that having kids and sitting up and having more kids wasn't cut out for me. So I took her advice and did what I had to do.
It's never too late.
That's
It's
right.
never too late.
That's
So I
right.
want to ask you this. If you were your parents' parents, right, what would you change about them?
If I was my parents' parents, what I would have changed is the environment that they grew up in. I really think that people are a product of their environment most of the time because, see, they tend to mix their circumstances with, "Because I'm here, I can't do this," or "Because I'm here, I don't have the resources to that." I would have broadened their horizons. I would have took them out of the hood more and showed them different environments where there are black people who were actually doing something. I think my parents were handicapped by the environment that they was in. Back then, people didn't know how to dream because they were just coming out of the segregation age. You get what I'm saying? And so dreaming was false hope. And what I know now, from what they don't know, they didn't know back then, is that hope is everything. The one thing somebody can't take from you, nobody can take from you, one of those things is hope. You got to always be able to hope because hope allows you to have that crazy faith. You know
That's
what I'm
true.
saying? Yeah.
A lot of people have vision, but they lack insight, you know?
Yes.
Like me and you, we got on glasses. But we see things differently, but similar. I'm talking about regarding me and you. We see things similar, you know. Like you was talking about that conversation we was having, and I think we was in the hallway, sitting in the hallway, because that's one of the things we do and shit. I was like, man, you don't want to go away to
Jermaine.
school hungry, nigga. I was hungry.
Right. Yeah, we was in the hallway, as a matter of fact, and we had a many conversations in the hallway. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy because I've always kept that with me. Like, I've never forgot that advice.
Man, that's good, man. People can't see you right now, but when they see the video, they're gonna be like, okay, you know. So, what state do you reside in now, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I'm in Virginia now. And so Virginia was one of my pit stops when I was in the military. So years ago, when I did go to the military, I ended up going to Germany first. And yeah, I love Germany. But when I first got there, it was hard for me because, again, remember, I come from a codependent family. And so learning to live by myself, when I say that was a sacrifice, it was a real sacrifice because now you in a totally different environment and you got to retrain yourself because you're not the same now as you was when you left. So living in Germany, what it did was it allowed me to grow up, and get a hold of myself and, make me realize that I can actually do this thing on my own without my family. So once I got over the being homesick in Germany, I PCS to Virginia. I went to Fort Lee, which is now Fort Gregg Adams. And I stayed at Fort Lee. I stayed in Virginia from 1998 to 2010. And then I recently moved back to Virginia at the height of the pandemic in 2020 of March. I just got tired of the high cost of living in Chicago. That's the one thing. Every time you make something, the taxes is going up.
Taxes crazy.
Yeah, it's so sick. You know, and the cold weather became too much for me. You know, I can't do the cold no more.
Chicago ain't colder than Germany.
Look, nowadays, Chicago is cold. You know, getting to that 42 below, you know, yeah. 2019.
I know.
Yeah, that was like a hard winter. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I can't do this no more. I came back to Virginia, the same area that I was in 10 years before I came back. And Virginia was always good to me. I call this the land of milk and honey. You know, it's slow. It's not like Chicago, but it's home.
I call Virginia the meat market.
Oh, that's right, because you was in Quantico.
Yeah, I was in Quantico on Ship's Guard, and I went to Virginia Beach. I like Virginia. One thing that I remember most about Virginia is when I was in the military that it was some good basketball games.
Okay.
They could hoop. Right. See, them Navy dudes, they could hoop. Shout out to the Navy.
And see, you was in a good place too, Virginia Beach. You was right by the water.
Yeah, but see, I was TAD there, like temporary assigned to duty there. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like a private first class, you know, when I started. And, you know, they always say, hey, who wanna, you know, I was like, you know what, I might as well volunteer for this. Man, I was just passing out basketballs for 6 months.
That's what's up. Look, I was in the gym. Duty for the Marines. Come on.
Yeah.
I said that's chill duty for the Marines.
Yeah. And you know, my squad leader then was like, what the, you get all the luck and this and that and blah blah blah. I was like, man, didn't nobody want to do it, so I just jumped in front of that thing.
Right. That's what's up.
Yeah. So how is it in Virginia for you now?
Things are good. Things are good here. You know, when I came here, what I did was I actually was, you know, not happy at the time when I did it, cause I left in the middle of my daughter's eighth grade school year.
Right.
I packed my daughter up. I gave a lot of my furniture away so I wouldn't have to make that big move back. I rented out my house that I had there. I had a plan and a vision. I always have a vision. One thing I don't do is when I'm in the process of bringing my vision to fruition, I usually don't tell nobody what I'm doing because people like to say, oh, she crazy. Oh, I wouldn't do that, you know, to try to talk me out of it. You know, so when I got the job, the thing was the job. When I secured the job, I was like, I told my baby, I said, we're going to go ahead and go to Virginia. I told her what the plan was, and I told her, this is what we're going to do. And sure enough, I got to Virginia. I already had me a place to stay. I already had me a job. I think I worked 1 week before the job closed, not down, but closed to where nobody could come in. Because even though
closed where you could get paid off Zoom.
Right. You know, because see, here's the thing. Even though I got out the military, I still worked for the military my entire career.
Right. A civil serviceman.
Yeah. Okay. So I was working from home. She was going to school from home, which was really good because, again, kids nowadays, they need friends to function. And she was worried about leaving all her friends behind. But now everybody on the inside, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I did what I said. We stayed in that apartment for a year. I had a home built from the ground because, you know, at that time it became a seller's market. Eventually, I was able to sell my home in Chicago, make money off of that. You know what I'm saying? Put money down on the home that I was having built. And I've been living off God's manna ever since. It's literally falling from the sky here for me.
That's good. That's good. I'm so happy for you. I wanted to ask you this. What if social media existed when we grew up?
Oh my
Facebook and
God.
Instagram. How do you think life would have been different in the hood? Do you
Oh
think
my
it would have been?
God.
How would it?
Oh my
How do you think it
God.
would have been?
Oh my God. You know what? We came up at the right time without social media because you know what? We was dealing with a lot of drive-bys. We was dealing with more gangs back then. You know
Man.
what I'm saying? And people would have knew people's location. Shit would have really been on back then. You know what I mean?
Not like it was cracking enough. It was cracking.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why we only needed a phone that was busy when somebody was on it. You know what I mean? Because if we had had the upgrades that they have now in technology, because see, our generation, we had to work hard to take care of our parents at a young age. You get what I'm
Man.
saying? We
Yeah.
had to grow up quick. Our life changed for us when we were kids. So we didn't have the same childhood that they have now. These kids now cry about things being hard for them. They have no idea what the crack era did to kids that came up in our generation.
Man, I know. These kids, they got a sense of entitlement, even my
Yes.
kids.
Yes.
And if y'all
Yes.
listening, I said it, and I'm gonna say the shit two more times. The
Right.
So, my daughter, she did something one time, but one thing about growing up back in the day, you learn things that these kids are never ever
Yes.
they'll never be able to fathom. Like I told my daughter, I said, hey, you on punishment from sh social media till you get grown. She was like, oh no, I'm
Yeah,
gonna die.
that's
I'm
a
like,
real
you
punishment
gonna
from
die
them
in
for them.
peace. You gonna die in peace,
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, that's a real punishment for them. And it's crazy because back in like 2018, my daughter, that was her first year in college. She was over there at DePaul.
Okay.
And she called me and she was like, Mom, she was standing at the mailbox and she was like, I can't see where to put the letter in at. And I was like, it's not a handle on there. And she was like, yeah. I said, just pull the handle. And she said, oh my God. She said, people are just walking past me, looking at me like I'm crazy because I'm walking around trying to find where you put the letter in. So when they don't even know how to use like a regular mailbox because there is no slot that's already open. Come on now, you know we done sheltered them and gave them a life that you know we would have never you know fathom having at their age. I mean, I was writing letters when I was like in grade school. That was one of the things they taught you, how to address an envelope, how to start off a letter, you know, in cursive. They don't even teach cursive no more in school, so you know things have really changed.
Right. I remember one time when I was at Jackson State, I did a paper on the five black presidents. Now, you know, it wasn't no Google or none of that shit.
Right.
So I had to read the book, look up everything, no
Right, real
Microsoft Word
research.
or nothing. And I knew the type of professor that I had. I said, let me make a couple of copies of this motherfucker because she'll tear my shit up. Why she tore my shit up? Like, look, I've been at this university all this time. Ain't nobody ever came to me with none of this crap here. She just threw my paper up. But I was like, man, you know, here go my paper again. Like, you know, hey, I'm gonna go to the dean if you tear my shit up. You know what I'm saying? And I worked hard. I'm like, you know, you're a professor. You could learn something new every day. You probably didn't even know this book was in here. You know, why you tearing my shit up?
I know, right? Real talk. Because back then, we had typewriters and shit where we was typing that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I took typing to meet girls, but I didn't know how beneficial and how much typing would come into play, you know?
Yeah, I took business. I went to a vocational high school, CVS. And when I first started off, my major was business. And so in my freshman year, I had 10 classes, and one of my classes was typing. And we literally had to listen to a tape, Mavis Beacon. And you had to hold your fingers a certain way on that typewriter. And back then, the teachers hit you. My teacher, she used to hit my hands when it didn't, when I didn't keep my fingers on the keys, And I'd be like, "What are you doing, lady?" saying to myself, because I knew if I talked back and my grandmother had to come up to the school, it was gonna be something else, So
Consequences and repercussions.
So I learned how to listen and I got that typewriter down pat. But yeah, it has been very beneficial to every job I've had.
Right. So you ready to have some fun? No, 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 no.
I'm always ready for fun.
Okay. What type of guys do you like?
You know what? That is so hard to answer. And I'm saying that to say because I got married in 1999 and then I got divorced in 2012. And no, not 2012, 2010, May. You never forget the day you got divorced. So I've been single for a long time. You know what I'm saying?
Right, so
So at this point, it's hard for me to narrow it down to what type of guy.
okay, I'm gonna help you out a little bit today.
Okay.
You get five traits from anybody in the world, dead or alive, to build your perfect guy. Looks, personality, funny, humor, intelligence, or whatever. So you'll say, well, I'll take Billy D. Williams' smile. I'll take this person's whatever. So you get to build your perfect man today, right here
Ooh.
on my show.
Okay. So first, I would say I would love to have a man with the same humility that Denzel Washington has. I don't think I've ever seen a black man of his, candor that is just grateful for every moment, every speech or advice. Anything that he has to say is always uplifting, and the one thing he always talk about is gratitude. So I love that. That would be great.
Okay,
Now,
Denzel's gratitude.
Now, the next thing, I love dark-skinned men. Remember the guy, and I can't pronounce his name because he has an African name. He was in Janet Jackson video years ago, Digimon, the
Yeah, I know.
African guy.
Right.
His height and his body.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that man is just the sexiest chocolate, And I know a lot of people out there saying, "Oh, I could think of
They'll get a chance.
this man, or I got the sexiest body." He know who he is. He don't try to be above nobody else. He don't try to compete with anybody else. So him like that. And so I'm not really into looks all per se. You know what I'm saying? But if I had to throw looks in there, I would say one guy that I think is really handsome is Morris Chestnut. Like, I love his smile. He has a great smile. I don't think he gets enough play about who he is outside of acting. He's been a husband for a long time. if he is messy in his marriage, you don't hear about it. You know what I'm saying? In the media. And so the next thing, the next guy who I would say, let's say career-wise, somebody who is and success doesn't mean, you know, it means di it's different for everybody. So the next thing is the one person, like as far as success is concerned, that trait, I would say, wow, I don't know about that part. I'd have to come back to that. But definitely a family man, like say for instance, you know how people say, well, if you want a man that's going to take care of you, then you got to be prepared for him to be a busy man because a broke man is the only man with time on his hand. Well, my thing is this. So I watched The Rock with his daughters, and I know that when he's gone, you know, to work. And when he's home, and work is not in, you know, the home. You get what I'm saying? So that type of characteristic, like you could work all you need to, you know what I'm saying? But when you home, be home fully, you know. And just again, when it comes to, I guess, success, that trait, I'm trying to think. Oh, Barack Obama. I would use Barack Obama. He didn't let it go to his head. You know what I'm saying? He had a vision. He didn't. He had a vision to become president. He put in the work. And after being the president, he's still a servant to people. He's still serving the people. And that type of charisma when it comes to success, whatever you do, you still ground it. So those type of characteristics. Now, is that possible? I believe that anything is possible. But that would be the perfect man.
There you go. Bam. Bam. If Jesus was a person, that's who it'd be.
Right, exactly.
You want to play another game? Da-na-na-na. Since you was married, we could call it smash pass or dash or fuck, marry, kill.
Fuck, marry, whatever.
Right. Okay, we're gonna play that. So you get three choices, and you're smash one, marry one, and you'll kill the other one. So you get three choices. All right. Here go your choices for the first round: Ell DeBarge, LeBron James, and D'Angelo.
Ooh, I would marry LeBron James.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I love Ell DeBarge, but I would have to kill him and smash D'Angelo.
Straight gangster, straight like that. Okay. Your next choice is Lorenz Tate, 50 Cent, and Tupac.
Ooh, Tupac, I would definitely marry. I would definitely marry Tupac. I would have to kill 50, though. I would have to kill 50. And I could smash Lorenz Tate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Denzel, LL Cool J, and Blair Underwood.
Oh, I would marry Denzel. I love Denzel. I would smash LL. And unfortunately, I would have to kill my man Blair. I love Blair, but I'd have to kill him for this.
All right. I got somebody from your neighborhood.
Oh, God.
Common, Tyrese, or Casey from Jodeci?
Ooh, I would marry I would, okay, so say those three again.
Common, Tyrese, and KC from Jodeci.
I would marry Common.
Okay.
Okay. I would smash Jodeci and I have to kill Tyrese.
Okay, that's gangster. All right, two more rounds.
Okay.
Method Man, Eric Benet, and Barack Obama.
Oh, I'd marry Barack Obama.
Okay.
I definitely smash Method Man.
Okay.
And then I'd have to kill, Eric Benet. I love Eric Benet, but I'd have to kill him for this.
Okay. Last. Here go the last one. Dwayne Wade, Allen Iverson, and Anthony Hardaway.
I'd marry Anthony Iverson.
Okay.
I mean Iverson. I'd marry Iverson. I'd kill Dwayne Wade and I'd smash,
Penny.
Anthony. Yeah.
Okay, that's what's up.
Yeah.
What's five things that you miss from Chicago?
Oh my God, the number one thing is food, man. I don't care what nobody say. You know what I'm saying? Chicago got the best food everywhere. I mean, I'm talking hood corner, to rich corner. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no
Yeah.
place in Chicago where you can't get no good food. So the one thing I miss is food. The
Man, I'm
next
trying
thing
to
I
tell you.
miss, yeah, I love the food in Chicago. The next thing I miss is the city. I miss the city, period. The city is a beautiful place.
Yeah,
You
it
know what
is.
I'm saying? There's so
Yeah.
much more to the city than the one section they always reporting on the news to try to make it seem like it's a bad place. You
Right.
know
They're
what I
just trying to
mean?
keep people away from it.
Right. And so the next thing I miss, you know what I'm saying, is I like that river walk downtown. I like being downtown.
The bomb
Yeah,
and the food is good.
I love being downtown. Like I literally can walk all over downtown, sit down, rest, and keep moving, going from here to there. It's so much to see for me. You know what I'm saying? And then for the people, I don't care what nobody say. The people in Chicago, man, you can't find those type of people anywhere. You know what I'm
No,
saying?
yeah, and
It's
like when you're from
crazy.
Chicago, when you go somewhere else, we always stick together somewhere else,
Yes,
but we can't
yes.
get along here. That's crazy.
And last but not least, the one thing that I guess the last thing that I miss, is I guess being around my family. Like I said, I do so much better when I'm not with them.
Right.
But I'm not gonna lie, I do miss being around my family.
Man, I already know. I'll tell you about that later. I'll talk to you about it offline. I know
Yeah.
what you mean though.
Yeah.
So, if you can leave anything with the listeners of Riders Live, what would it be?
Man, just don't give up on your dreams. And when I say dream, I'm talking about having that collision with your vision. You know what I'm saying? So here's the thing, what I see what's going on now with the world. After the pandemic, things have changed for everybody. We in what I call, we transitioning, and I don't even think a lot of people realize the transition that's going on. I mean, when you look at everything that's happening, it's things that our generation has never experienced. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the generations after us are now experiencing. But what I would say is, in all the chaos, in everything that's going on around you, stay focused on your dream. All that other stuff, that's just a distraction. That's happening out there in the world. And you have to remember, as a person, that's going somewhere, while you may be in this world, you are not of this world. You know what I'm saying? You got to get in touch with
Exactly.
the spiritual self. you
Yep.
know, and through it all, just stay focused and keep that crazy faith, you know, with hope behind it. And it's like Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope. I don't think a lot of people read that book, but the title itself, The Audacity to Have Hope in a Time Like This. You get what I'm saying?
Man,
So
I
dreams,
overget it.
yeah, dreams are not just dreams, what you dream, but dreaming is when you have that vision of how you see yourself living. And you move toward it. When you start living in your vision, the universe will change things to get you there.
I agree with that 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
So, where can people find you on social media if you want to be found? If not, we'll bring her back.
Well, I am on Facebook as Tiffany Yvette 01 at facebook.com. And I'm on Instagram as only one Tiffany Yvette 01. Look for me, you know what I'm saying? Put me up out there, you know. I'm always here. I believe in each one teach one. You know, I'm always here. For anybody who want to reach out and got questions and talk, I love talking, communicating. Yeah.
That's what's popping. So this has been another episode of Ride Us Live. Peace.
That's what's up.
You want some cool merchandise? Well, you want to go to RidersLivePodcastStore.com. Also, we have t-shirts, hoodies, and drinkware accessories. You just shop, pick out what you like, and your orders will come straight to you directly. Also, subscribe to the Riders Live Podcast. It's on all streaming platforms. You can even listen on RidersOnline.net. You can get my music from the link tree. You can access my merchandise store, and you can listen on all streaming platforms right through the link tree. So subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify for Podcasters, Google Podcasts, and Good Pods. And you can also leave a review on RidersOnline.net. I appreciate everybody who's been listening to the show. Keep tapping in for great content and episodes. Thank you.
Believe in me. You and I. never live.